Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Since the very beginning, man has tried to place the blame for his sin and fault on someone else. The Lord Jesus dispelled the notion that we can blame anyone else for the things that we do. If a man ever had just cause to hit somebody in the mouth, it would be immediately after he was hit in the mouth by that person, would it not? Yet the Lord said, turn the other cheek. When we're in a bad mood, we can easily find someone else's error that put us there, can't we? If things don't go as planned, someone else can take the blame very easily in our own mind. If our husband or our wife doesn't act exactly like we think they should, or does something we don't like, our flesh says we have a right to be angry. But do we? There is only one person in all the earth over whom we are to exercise complete control. Each morning when we look in the mirror, we see that person. If we become angry with our spouse or neighbor, even though their actions may be provocative, we are totally accountable for how we respond to that provocation. It is incorrect to make the statement, well, she or he made me mad, so she or he is responsible for my acting the way I did. Are we not admonished to exercise self-control regardless of the situation? The primary goal of our flesh is to seek its own happiness. Because of this, the error arises in the thinking of men that this is also the primary goal of the Lord in working with his children. Now, there is abundant scripture to indicate the great benevolence that the Lord is determined to show to his own. And he has indeed set forth the truth that all things work together for our good. However, the chief purpose of the Lord in dealing with his children is to see them conform to the image of his Son. In fact, they are predestined unto that very result. Their happiness in this world is secondary to that purpose and is a result of that work performed in them by his Spirit. He has indeed designed that they should be ultimately happy, but not until he has achieved in them his perfect work. Satan thought that he would bring heartache upon Job in order to destroy him. Little did he know that God had ordained his very orchestrations in order to bring Job to a place he wanted him to be. Job was a righteous man because the Lord deemed him so, but he was not a perfect man. It was the Lord's intention to bring him to a place of fully understanding who he was before God and who God was before him. The Lord accomplished that very purpose, ultimately bringing Job to a place of repentance and worship. As Job confessed, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. In the course of that journey, the Lord brought men into Job's life who were by Job's own description miserable comforters and physicians of no value. In some ways they added to Job's grief as they sought to straighten him out. But through this buffeting, the Lord was working to humble Job's heart. I am convinced that the Lord brings people, sometimes husbands or wives, into our lives who sometimes vex us and cause us unhappiness for the same purpose of bringing us into conformity to Christ. We often find ourselves fighting against those persons when in reality the Lord has designed our confrontations with them for our benefit. If a man or woman smites us, this may be verbal, we are not to rise up in anger, even though it is justified according to our flesh, but are to submit ourselves to them. The Lord designs to work in us humility rather than vengeance. This really aggravates our flesh, because vengeance is much more satisfying, and yet is the source of much of our discontentment. We must forever abandon the idea that it is the fault of others that causes us to act and react as we do. All men, especially God's children, are personally accountable for every action and reaction that they have. We can make every excuse we want to, but the bottom line is we are accountable for our actions, regardless of the actions of others. We cannot disregard the teaching of Christ because it is not convenient, nor can we justify ourselves for actions and attitudes that are not in keeping with the example he has set for us. We must bid vengeance adieu, for it belongs to the Lord. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Do you rejoice in the commandments of him who suffered for sinners, as a sheep before her shearers, opening not his mouth?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.